back in Matthew 26, where we read Jesus in verse 27, it says, took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to the disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood of the covenant. I want to think about the blood of the covenant this morning. Luke has a similar statement in Luke 22. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, says Luke, reflecting what Jesus said to the disciples then. And here, Matthew, this is my blood of the covenant. Now, I've already said to the children that blood is a very, very precious thing. I get blood tests from time to time, and when I do, I always watch the blood coming out my vein into the syringe. And last time I was doing that, just a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, this is precious stuff. Very precious stuff. And it is. Very precious. When any of you perhaps goes and gives a pint of blood at the transfusion service, you're giving something of great value. You're giving the gift of life. That's how precious blood is. And blood throughout history has been used in all kinds of ceremonies to mark all kinds of agreements because of how crucial it is to life and how precious it is. So Jesus speaks here about his blood being the blood of the covenant. Now, what does that mean, the blood of the covenant? Well, what is a covenant? A covenant is an arrangement, it's an agreement between two parties, so two groups. And in the covenant, there are terms and conditions of the covenant so that people know what they have to do in order to keep the agreement, the arrangement, the covenant. And there are rewards if you do keep the terms and conditions. And there are also penalties if you fail to keep the terms and conditions. So we're all familiar with covenant in different ways. For example, some of you will have an employment contract. And an employment contract brings to you the terms and conditions, how many hours you're supposed to work, what holidays you get, that sort of thing. It also spells out the rewards. So what you're going to be paid for the work that you do, special bonuses you may get or whatever because of that work. And then also it spells out penalties. If you fail to do the work properly or if you breach the code of conduct in the contract, then as a result you may lose your job. Your contract may be terminated or you may have your pay docked or something like that. Marriage is another example of a covenant. It's, again, something with terms and conditions. It's till death do us part. We say it in the vows. It's something with rewards. The reward of being married for Margaret, the reward of being married to me, is that she's married to me. That may not seem like a great reward at times. The reward of being married to your husband or your wife is that you're married to them. They're yours, exclusively, your partner in life. But in marriage, the covenant has penalties too. So if you are unfaithful in your marriage, then the penalty may be the annulment of the marriage. So that's the nature of covenant. So there are two parties, there are two groups involved. And in the covenant Jesus is speaking about, the covenant in his blood, there are also two parties. The parties are God, represented here by Jesus, and us, the Christians, the church. So Christ and his church. The new covenant is made between Christ and his church. Now, the terms of the covenant have been spelled out in the Bible. They've been spelled out, for example, in the Ten Commandments. So the terms of the covenant are Don't make and don't worship false gods. Don't misuse the name of God. Keep the Lord's Day as a holy day, a day of rest. Honour your parents. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal or lie or covet. In verse 27 here, part of the covenant is, this new covenant, this blood of the covenant, part of the covenant is that we drink from the cup. This is part of the covenant because it's one of the commands that the Lord gives to those who are in covenant with him, that we drink from the cup. It's part of our covenant with him. There are other commands, commands to love your neighbour as yourself, to love God with all your heart, for the church, for Christians, to love one another. These are all terms and conditions of the covenant. The covenant says that Jesus is Lord. In the party, among the two parties, Jesus and his church, Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of the covenant. So, there are, of course, rewards. The reward of the covenant is, the reward of the covenant is eternal life. The reward of the covenant, of keeping the covenant that we have with Jesus, is that we will live forever in the presence of God and in his new creation. That's an amazing reward. But there's also penalties. And the penalty of the covenant breaking between Jesus and his church is death. That's the penalty. The penalty is, it's about blood. It's about the spilling of blood. It's about the end of life. It's a covenant of blood. It's a solemn thing. The penalty of breaking any of the commandments is death. Now, this covenant of which Jesus speaks here and speaks of the blood of the covenant, this covenant is voluntary. Jesus is voluntarily entering into it. And we voluntarily enter into it too. We're not forced to become Christians. We willingly see that we want to be. We see Jesus as Lord. We see him and we come to him willingly and voluntarily to become his. And he is willing to engage with us and to commit to us in his covenant and to receive our commitment to him. But you might say, but Roddy, if the penalty of breaking the covenant is death, maybe it would be better not to voluntarily enter into the covenant. Because these commandments that we need to keep, that are the terms and conditions of the covenant, they're onerous. We find it difficult to keep them, and we fail to keep them. So how can we safely enter into this covenant with Jesus if the penalty for not keeping the terms and conditions is death? Surely, it's to sign our own death warrant. Well, if you don't enter into the covenant, your position is far worse. Because if you don't enter into the covenant with Jesus, Jesus is still Lord. That doesn't change. You can't go on and just behave as you want and say, I don't want to become a follower of Jesus. I don't want to be in covenant with Jesus. I'm better off without him, because you're not. It's a bit like someone who would say, maybe be caught by the police, and you're doing 90 miles an hour along the 87 towards Balmacara, and the police stop you. And they ask you to get out of the car, and they say, do you know, sir, that you were doing 90 miles an hour? And you say, yes. Do you know what the speed limit is here? And you say, it's 60 miles an hour. Well then, you were breaking the speed limit. You wouldn't then say to the police officer, I know I was, but you see, it doesn't matter because I don't recognise your authority. as a policeman. I don't recognise the authority of the government to impose these laws upon me. You couldn't say that, could you? Because whether you recognise the authority or not, the authority is there. And you would still be fined, and probably fine more for saying that as well. And you might lose your licence. Whether or not you recognise Jesus as Lord, he's still Lord. Again, if I don't recognise the authority of Jesus, I'm more likely to break the law. I'm more likely to break the terms and conditions of the covenant. I'm more likely to fail to live as he wants me to live in his, under his jurisdiction, if I don't recognise it. And it doesn't cut anything to say to Jesus that we didn't know what his laws were either. It's again the same if you were to be stopped by the police and, do you know what the speed limit is here? And you say to them, no, I don't. I say, well, you were doing 90, the speed limit is 60. And you would go, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, the policeman's not then going to say, oh, that's fine. If you didn't know, then it doesn't really matter. You can go as fast as you like. It doesn't work like that. Jesus is Lord. And whether or not we know his laws, whether or not we take the time to inform ourselves about them, they're still there. His jurisdiction still stands. So it is better to get into the covenant with Jesus than not to be in the covenant, because you're more likely to take heed of his laws, and also for another far greater reason. Because in the covenant, even if you break the laws, you have a Savior. God knows that we won't keep his laws. And because of that, when we break his laws and the law demands the penalty of our death, God has done something to make it possible for us to be forgiven. He has sent a rescue to us. And the rescue is, yes, there is death when the law is broken. There is bloodshed when the law is broken by us. But it's not our blood. It's not your blood. It's Jesus' blood. The blood of the covenant that Jesus is speaking about here, that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, is his blood. You know where the blood of Jesus was poured out. It was poured out at the cross. And this covenant that God enters into with us, and that we enter into voluntarily with him, and with Jesus as our Lord, has this provision in it that when we break the covenant, Jesus, who didn't break the covenant, who doesn't break the covenant, who is completely faithful to us in the covenant, who never sins against us, who always does right for us, Jesus is prepared to give his blood, to give his life, instead of us giving our own lives because we've broken the covenant. He is willing to give his life. We break the law, but he dies. We sin, he's treated like it was he who had sinned. His blood flows, his blood is poured out. So what we do as Christians, with shame, with sorrow, with a great deal of regret and self-loathing at times, as we look at our sins and as we think about how we've behaved so badly in the covenant we have with Jesus, is that we look to the cross, and there at the cross, we see Jesus, we see his blood being poured out for us, and because he is dying there, because he is dying for us, we know that the covenant penalty has been paid. We know that our sins have been covered. We know that we are forgiven. And so, even though we're ashamed of our own behavior, we are so glad that we're in the covenant, because the covenant is able to deal with our sin. The covenant is able to remove it without us suffering, without us dying. The wages of sin is death. That's the covenant. But Jesus is willing to be the one who dies for us. And then we receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. We still get the rewards as though we had kept the covenant, because Jesus pays the penalty for us failing to keep it. Now, you might think that if Jesus has to die for us and for our breaking of the covenant, that maybe Jesus would be somehow reluctant to have anything more to do with us because of what we've cost him. But of course, this way of solving the problem of paying the penalty for our breaking the covenant was his idea. Jesus doesn't bear us a grudge for having to die for our sins, because it was his idea, because of his love for us. So when I look to the cross, I see not only the covenant penalty that I have incurred being paid for me by Jesus, but I also see love. I see love that is determined that we should benefit from his death on the cross, and that we should, through that death, still receive the rewards and the blessings of the covenant in Christ's blood. So what a wonderful position it is to be in if we're in covenant with Jesus. To be outside the covenant, whether we recognize the authority of Jesus or not, makes no difference. He's still Lord. To be outside of the covenant, whether we know what his laws are or not, makes no difference. They're still there. And as soon as we break them, the penalty that comes with breaking the law of God is ours, but it's ours, and we can't escape from it because we're not in covenant with Jesus. We've got no one else to do it for us, to pay for our penalty. We have to pay it ourselves. The wages of sin is death. So to be outside of the covenant is to be in a place of certain doom and certain condemnation. But to be in the covenant with Jesus is to be in a place where we know that he loves us, and where we know that he has paid the penalty for our breaking the covenant. A penalty that cost his life, the shedding of his blood. So the covenant that we're talking about here, that the Christian has with Jesus, it's like what we would call a comprehensive insurance. And as the advert says, does your insurance do that? Well, the only insurance that we have that provides complete cover for the sinner, so that no matter what sin we do, whether it was accidental or deliberate, whether it was premeditated, or whether it was something that we just suddenly fell into, all sin is covered by the covenant. It's comprehensive cover. The blood of Christ, the death of Christ, deals with it all. What a wonderful place to be in. And so Jesus says in verse 28 that this blood of the covenant is poured out for many. Many is a great word there, because we know that that many covers history, it covers the face of the world, that covers everyone that wants to be in covenant with Jesus, wherever they are, whenever they've lived. It covers here today, and it gives you the opportunity to be among the many and to receive Jesus yourself into your life as your Lord and Savior, to be in covenant with Him and to know that comprehensive cover for yourself. To be one of the many of whom it is said that Jesus shed His blood, poured out His blood for their forgiveness, the forgiveness of their sins. So in a moment we're going to come to the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is there to help us to remember all of this. Because the Lord's Supper is about the covenant, as Jesus says here. It's about taking the wine and remembering the blood of the covenant. It's remembering the death of Jesus. It's remembering the love of Jesus. It's remembering the comprehensive cover we have through that blood of our sins, the cover of our sins. And it's remembering then that we still can receive the benefits, the rewards of the covenant, eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, even though we have sinned. So the Lord's Supper bids us come and remember, reflect upon, be nourished by, and celebrate the benefit of the covenant that we're in through Jesus Christ. And I say to all of you here today who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, come to the supper. Take up the wine and the bread and remember this covenant that you're in with Jesus. Remember what it does for you. Remember that it comprehensively covers every eventuality of your sinfulness. And remember that because of that, you can still look forward, even though you are a sinner, to the eternal life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you take that and you remember these things, and you remember them with glad hearts, with thankfulness, with joy. This cup, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus says, and he says, drink from it, all of you. If today you still don't recognize the authority of Jesus as Lord, then the offer is still there. The offer of the covenant for you is still there. And I urge you to take the offer now, because it's free. And it's offered by Jesus to you, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. So you can share in the reward that Jesus wants you to have of eternal life with Him. But until you receive Jesus, the table is not yet for you. And you need to receive Him first, and then come and drink. We have a few visitors today. You're welcome if you are someone who loves the Lord and Savior Jesus, to come and share with others in the congregation who will be at the table, because it is the Lord's table. It is Jesus who's saying to you, drink from it, all of you. It's Jesus who is calling you to the table.